This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am so happy, pleased, delighted to be with you today as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always eager to hear from you. You make this program happen. You do. It's a call-in program. Your calls are important to us. We love to pray with you on the air. In addition to all of that, we also like to share your burdens with you, you know, as you proclaim them here on the air. And as we seek God's mercy and guidance and wisdom in the midst of them all, we want to know how it is that the Lord is impacting your life in the ways in which He is drawing you ever nearer to His most sacred heart and allowing you to enter more deeply into divine and holy union with Him by way of the Holy Spirit. So please call us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Yes, we do. We also want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it retrieved and put it up on the board. We have Jeff Burson, who is the retriever of all of those messages you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. He's also our producer. He's the one that's going to post them for me so I can see them and then we can address them. And we've got Matt Kubensky on the phones there. He is our call screener and he loves to talk with you. And I love when you call and talk with him because that means I get to talk with you too. So please do give us a call. Again, toll free at 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. But I do want to let you know, if you're outside of North America, we have a number for you to use too. It begins with a country code, and that country code is 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Certainly encouraging you to pick up the phone and to give us a call today. So I opened something up. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about some things that are going on. I want to remind you about the Moments with Mary. This is a beautiful offering that we have begun to do right for you at our homepage, womenofgrace.com. You can click on it. You're going to see a little button there, an icon of it all there, and you click on it, and it's going to open up to you meditations, if you will, little mini teachings on our Blessed Mother. And this is something that, you know, I want to continue for as long as I possibly can. I had to suspend it for a few days. You know why? Because my voice was a mess. So as a result of that, you know, I didn't want to produce these and have my voice not be at its optimum. But nonetheless, we've got 20 of them up there. If you haven't visited Moments with Mary, I really want to encourage you to do so. It's right there on our website. And we've been taking a look at our Blessed Lady through the eyes of the mystical saints. So I want to talk to you a little bit about mysticism and, you know, what that means in the sense of our Catholic faith, etc. So that was on my mind this morning. But in addition to that, I want to remind you about our upcoming events. You know, we've got so much going on. I keep telling you this is our anniversary year. I'm really excited about it. That's why I keep telling you about it. I just am thanking and praising the Lord that He's given us the privilege, the awesome privilege and blessing of having this apostolate for women that has reached out really well beyond the borders of the United States into many foreign countries. We just stand back in awe of what God has done, and what a privilege and grace it is for me to have the opportunity to interact with so many daughters of the Most High God. And to that end, during this 20th anniversary year, you know, we really have stepped up our various events and things that we're doing. I think I mentioned to you yesterday about our pilgrimage coming up in December of this year to Basilica Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Very much looking forward to that. If you haven't been there, or if you've been there and want to come back again, I can tell you this is going to be a very rich, very full, very beautiful pilgrimage. So we invite you to get out there and to take a look at it. We're going to leave on a Feast of Our Lady. As a matter of fact, a holy day of obligation, December the 8th. And we will be coming back, I don't know if it's the 12th or the 13th of December. So it's not a long pilgrimage. It should fit into most people's schedules. And we really, really do want for you to join us there. But we are going to be in Boca Raton, Florida before that. As a matter of fact, we are going to be there next weekend, not tomorrow or the next day. But next weekend, February 4th is the day of the event. That is going to be at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church there in Boca Raton. It's going to be a lovely day. We're going to be talking about healing the wounds of the heart. And I'll tell you, my heart is full. My heart is full with what I believe our Lord wants for me to share with all of the beautiful ladies there. And it's a beautiful thing about our Lord, you know, He knows who's coming. And this is one of the things that I've learned through the years. I've actually been out there speaking to groups since 1992. That's when things really began to pick up for me. That's many, many years, right? Many years of service in going from place to place, almost as an itinerant evangelist, if you will, talking about issues important to people in their life and in their faith. And one of the things that I have always noticed is no matter, you know, what the theme is, and even if that theme is repeated, God tailors what happens in that day for the group that is there. And I've witnessed this time and time again, how in the midst of it, you know, He changes things up. You know, the schedule is the schedule, yes, but within that schedule, and that schedule is prayed through, by the way, but, you know, within that schedule, you know, He does marvelous things, and He knows who's going to be there. And I just believe that God sees your face, and He wants you to be there, because He has a special grace, a special gift to impart to you. He wants to bring you into the fullness of His love, the fullness of His mercy, the fullness of His life. He wants for you to experience the joy that comes by way of His holy and divine presence. And we're going to have that opportunity at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church on February the 4th. So, you know, I know right now that there are some of you that you're hearing this word and, you know, your heart is actually beating more quickly than it was a minute and a half ago. And I also know that there are some of you, you know, who are really feeling the breath of the Holy Spirit on your back, and some of you whose hands might even be a little sweaty because, you know, it's like a little response of the body to this movement of grace, some of you feeling a warmth interiorly. You know, these are the ways that the Holy Spirit helps for us to know that He has something planned for us. So if you're feeling any of those emotions, or if your curiosity is simply peaked, come. We invite you to come. I can guarantee you, you will not regret it. Beautiful, beautiful things that God wants to do, right? So please do plan to come be with us. We're going to be talking about healing the wounds of the heart. But you know, so many of our physical ailments are related to these wounds of the heart. We're going to find out about that. We're going to talk about that. And I think that, you know, you're going to see that this God of ours intends only good for you. He wants the best for you. So I want to encourage you to come. All of the information is at our website. Schedule's posted there. You can register right there online. I want you to do that. And then I want you to know that we are having, concurrently with that, a Young Women of Grace event. And I want you to bring your daughters. We have special gifts for them. They're each going to receive, through the generosity of a donor, they're each going to receive our Young Women of Grace study guide. They're going to receive other things. They're going to participate in great activities. They'll hear some very lovely talks. It's going to be a way for them to discover the awesome reality of their feminine identity. And boy, did the girls today need to know all about that. More to come on the other side of the break. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We're coming right back to you. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy that you are with us today. And as always, I'm encouraging you to give us a call here. Well, our phone lines are open for you. I am eager to hear from you. So is Matt Gubensky, who is our call screener. 833-288-EWTN is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. 866, inviting you to pick up the phone and to give us a call. We also want to let you know that we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there and put in your question or comment, your word of encouragement, whatever it is that you want to share with us today. And we'll get it retrieved. Jeff Burson, our producer, will do that. He's our social media manager, too. He wears many hats. In addition to, I've seen some of those hats, as a matter of fact, but all of that being said, do leave your message there at YouTube or Facebook, and he'll retrieve it and get it up on the board. We're going to go right to Suzanne. She is a first-time caller. She's with us in Colorado, and we're so very happy she's with us today. Suzanne, how are you, darling?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you, Donette.
You're welcome.
I love being the first-time caller.
Sometimes I wonder if our first-time callers are always first-time callers, or they just like that bell, Suzanne.
No, I'm first-time caller.
I'm so happy.
So, Donette, I first of all want to tell you that you are such an inspiration to me, and I'm sure so many people. With the faith that you have, it's just amazing with everything you've gone through. And I wish I had just a little bit of that, of your faith. I'm sorry.
That's okay, sweetheart.
I would like to ask for prayers for my daughter, Michelle. She's 55 now, and at 15, she had a brain tumor removed. And ever since then, she's had a lot of medical issues. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're waiting for results. She has an MRI in February to find out if three brain tumors have shrunk, because she did get the therapy about a year ago.
Yes.
And so I'd like to ask for prayers that our Lord may just take them away from her and give her back a normal life.
Yes.
He's done so much for us, and I do thank him, but she's my baby.
Of course. Oh, Suzanne.
I'm sorry. I didn't think I was
going to
cry.
Oh, honey, no, you should cry. You know, tears are very, very healing. Never apologize for crying. You love her. Those tears are a sign of your love for her. And I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, the mystics have told us, and I do believe it's also in sacred scripture, that our guardian angel collects our tears and takes them to the throne of God. And those tears, you know, those tears that you cry for her really are prayers. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, the only thing that we can offer to God is our heart. And when our heart is full of pain, and when our heart is full of suffering, and it's expressed in tears, and we're suffering in union with the passion of our Lord for a specific intention, our suffering in union with His becomes a great efficacious way of receiving blessings from heaven. And so, you know, these tears of yours, you know, in conjunction with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, become a marvelous form of prayer for your daughter. And I'm thinking about the fact that this is precisely what our Lord offered on the cross as He hung there. He was offering His Father all of the suffering He was enduring for our sake. And we know it was efficacious. We know it was efficacious in redemptive grace. God heard the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of the poor. He hears the cry of your heart. So let's just come together in this moment, Suzanne, and let's just lift your daughter up. And we have every reason to believe that as much as you want your daughter restored to the fullness of health, God wants it even more. We're also aware of the fact that God works all things to the good for those who are called according to His purposes. And we know that in the midst of great adversity, He's doing a great thing. And we don't know how He's using her suffering, but we do know that when that suffering is surrendered to Him, He uses it profoundly. Your maternal suffering for her, her suffering for herself. And so, Father God, we just come before You in this moment, and You have heard the cry of your daughter Suzanne's heart for her daughter Michelle. And Father, I know that Your ears are not deaf. I know that Your ears are attentive to the needs of Your children. And You hear this cry, and You know it comes from the depths of her maternal love, her maternal care, her maternal concern for her daughter. And you know, Father God, I know that even right this minute as you're looking at Suzanne's heart, and Suzanne, he is looking directly at your heart right now. And what he sees inside of your heart, tucked into the inside of your heart, is the very same suffering that our Blessed Lady endured for her son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that this God of ours brings us every consolation in the heavens. And he's looking upon that now, and he's seeing you, and he's seeing the daughter of Zion. He's seeing his daughter, Mary, and he's seeing you with her. And Father, we just ask now that in that gaze of yours, that is not a gaze without action, your pure act, even as you're gazing at your daughter's heart right now, as you're gazing at her soul, as you're gazing at her suffering, as you see that all caught up in that mystical suffering of Our Lady, as you see all of that there, Father God, I know that this glance of yours, this glance that is pure act, this glance of yours right now is bringing healing graces, Father. I know that this gaze of yours that is filled with love is effective and is sure and is true. And I know, Father, that these graces are being dispensed for your daughter Suzanne's heart, but also for the plea of her heart, the healing of her daughter Michelle. Father, this dear daughter of yours, Michelle, has soldiered on with these tumors and with the difficulties and the trials that come by way of them. And you have seen fit to give her life for all of these years. Father God, this is not in vain, but it's for a great good. And we're asking now that this good would be expressed, that it would be expressed by a profound and true healing. We dare to ask this, God, because we know that nothing's impossible with you, and we can have full confidence in you. And we know, Father God, that you will only the best. And so now I ask that through the action of the Holy Spirit, through this gaze of yours into the heart of your daughter, into this gaze of yours into the brain of Michelle that you've entrusted to her, Father God, I'm asking now that the fullness of health, the fullness of life, that the fullness of grace would be released, Lord, and that this travail would end, and that your daughter would be a microphone to proclaim your marvelous deeds, and that many would come through the healing that you are bringing about, Father. And so it is that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. I have just a little intimation in prayer here, Suzanne, for your daughter. And, you know, Father God, we know that as we sit before the Blessed Sacrament, it is like the radiation of heaven. And I would ask that she spend time before the Blessed Sacrament of our Lord. If you need to accompany her there, accompany her there and sit there before the presence of Jesus. Sit there with our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, completely present in the sacrament. And just let him bathe her in the radiant power of his healing love. Okay?
Yes, definitely. Thank you. That
You're
was
welcome.
Beautiful, Janet. I love you. You're a wonderful, wonderful inspiration for us all. Thank you so much.
Well, Suzanne, thank you, honey, and praise God for the good that he does. I have two little acronyms for you on faith, and here they are. Here's two definitions for faith, F-A-I-T-H, firm assurance in things hidden, firm assurance in things hidden, okay? And the second one, Facing adversity in trust-filled hope, facing adversity in trust-filled hope. And notice, that makes faith an action word. And trust is an action word. It doesn't mean that we feel faith or that we feel trust. It just means that we act in it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's beautiful. Thank you. God
You're welcome,
you.
Sweetheart. You're welcome. And I'll be praying for you and for Suzanne, okay? I'm tucking you into my rosary.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
God bless
so
you, Janet.
God bless you, sweetheart. Bye-bye now. So I would ask all of you, you know, listen, God works so powerfully through all of you. You know, if there's one thing that I want to convince you of, it's that he works so powerfully through you. Your prayers are so powerful. We saw them in action yesterday. I have tears in my eyes right now as I think of it. We saw your prayers in action yesterday when Elizabeth called in to tell us that her friend's granddaughter had been found and she had been found safe and sound, right? We asked God specifically, if it be his will, that she would be found during the broadcast of the program yesterday. And so it was, right? And that's because we were praying for her. We were all praying together. So I want to communicate to you from the bottom of my heart and with everything in me, with my full strength, how powerful your prayers are, right? God hears your prayers. And so pray, pray always, pray without ceasing. Let your heart and your mind turn to God every day, many times through the course of the day. Just utter little ejaculative prayers to him, little aspirations of the heart. Father God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, come, come now. Holy Spirit, soul of my soul, I adore thee. Enlighten, guide, strengthen, and console me. Tell me what I ought to do, and then command me to do it. I promise to submit to all that thou shalt ask of me, and to accept all that thou permittest to happen to me. Only show me what is thy will, right? These little prayers that we can pray throughout the course of the day, always raising our hearts and our minds to God in every endeavor, right? It's a training. It's a training. It's a fulfillment, really, of what we read in Romans 12, verse 2. You know, this is one of my favorite passages. Do not conform yourself to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. And even as we say those words, what are we doing? We're following the prescriptive of what St. Paul gives to us in Philippians 4:8, to fill our minds with all that is good, all that is true, all that is beautiful, all that is lovely, all that is worthy. He says, fill your minds with these things. That's the way that we renew our mind. So when we're praying, when we're offering these little ejaculative prayers to the Lord, you know, these little aspirations of heart, we're renewing our mind. We're retraining our mind. We're taking it out of the gutter of the here and now. And we're taking it out of the profane, and we're renewing it to the perfect. So we move from the profane, the secular, the worldly. We move from the profane to the perfect. We move from that which is unholy to that which is holy. And then our minds become what? Our minds become renewed according to the things of God. And there's a promise in that verse. What's that promise? So that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit are enlivened with us, specifically three gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to that passage, so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, what is pleasing, what is perfect. So what are the three gifts that are aroused, by this renewal of the mind? The gift of discernment. We'll know what God's will is. We'll be able to see it clearly. Okay, so we excite, if you will, we stimulate through this renewal of the mind. We activate that gift that is ours by way of the Holy Spirit received in baptism, strengthened in confirmation, the gift of discernment. We receive the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge, the ability to see beyond what our eyes see into the truth that underlies what the eye sees. We begin to see the world and everything in it through the vision of God, right? And that's knowledge. We get knowledge of God, knowledge of his action. Just like we were talking about a moment ago there with Susanna, prime example. God works all things to the good. Maybe you're in a travail right now and you're saying, well, I just don't see the good. Well, start this process of the renewal of your mind, right? And you'll perceive the hand of God moving in it. So the gift of knowledge is there. The gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom. That's actually seeing the world through the eyes of God. Seeing it through his vision. Being able to comprehend the moments of our life and the actions of the world, through the eye of God, right? It through his mind. He wants you to have that gift to operate in it. Really and truly, that's the gift that the saints had. You know, they could see. They could see the movement of God. We need to be those saints who have that gift, right? So we have that gift. And you know, and let me just say this too. That's a type of prophetic gift as well. It's a type of prophetic gift because you can see. You can see, you know, with the logic of God's own mind, you can see where certain actions and consequences are sure to follow as a result of that, right? So, you know, this attitude of heart, this disposition of heart that says, I want to renew my mind. I am going to pray always without ceasing. Something that I've discovered in my own life of prayer, you know, there is that active engagement, you know, of the mind, the gifting over to God of the entirety of our being that he wants to fill. You know, and that we participate in through prayer, through a deliberate, intentional turning of our heart and our mind to God. But I've also learned in my time of prayer, I've also come to discover that our the inner part of our being, the inner part of our being, can always be in recollection with the Lord, can always be in recollection with the Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? It might not be a conscious thought in our mind, right? But nonetheless, we can find at odd moments of the day that a prayer begins to well up in the interior of our being. It comes unbidden. And that is the Holy Spirit praying through us, proclaiming the goodness of God. And so in a certain way, we can do that we can have that gift by which we are praying without ceasing, even when we're not consciously aware of praying. And that's what we want to strive for. We want that to be a constant action within us, you know. And that's what St. Paul talks about, you know, that the Spirit prays through us with groans and utterings, right? Anyway, now here we are at the bottom of the hour, and I want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call. We're ready for you.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am very, very eager to hear from you. So make these phone lines ring. Yes, I like the ringing. You like the ringing. If you're a first-time caller, I like the ringing of the phone. So please do give us a call here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to use the chat feature there to get your question or comment up. You're all very quiet out there. Oh, Cynthia's out there. Oh, goody gumdrop. So I will be able to take Cynthia's question and comment. We've got a caller that we're waiting to get up on the board now. You can join Cynthia and Ruth. Yes, you can. How do you do that? Pick up the phone, give us a call, or go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. The number to call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So I told you at the beginning of the program that I wanted to just chat with you a little bit about mystical graces. You know, mysticism is a part of our life of faith, right? And we all, in a certain way, are mystics by the very fact that we have been baptized in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. When we think of mystics, however, we typically are thinking of those great mystic saints who have received special gifts from God, extraordinary mystical graces that have been specific to them or for them for a given moment in time. oftentimes we think of those that have received apparitions of Our Lady, for example. Or we might think of Saint Faustina, who received apparitions of Our Lord, revealing His divine mercy. Or Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, who had visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We might think of Bernadette Soubirous. Saint Bernadette received the apparition at Lourdes of Our Blessed Lady. Or the three Fatima children, right? We might think of them. We think of these saints who had great powers of miracles. I think of St. Vincent Ferrer. He was really something else. I mean, he even stopped a guy in the midst of falling off of a roof, held him suspended there till he went to the bishop to see if he could bring him down to the ground because the bishop had told him to stop using these mystical powers that he had, you know? Anyway, we might think of people like that. We might think of Padre Pio, who had the stigmata. These are extraordinary mystical graces, but all of us are called into a life of union with God, and that comes by way of the ordinary graces of mysticism. So I just want to read this to you. This is from Father Emil Neubert's book, and the book is called Life of Union with Mary. If you don't have it, get out to our website and get a copy of it. It says, he writes this, mystical graces are of two kinds, ordinary and extraordinary. The former, ordinary, consists of the simple consciousness which the soul has of the presence and the action of God in its interior, that sense of the Holy Spirit praying in you, for example, or when you just find that you're in the midst of prayer, you know, and you weren't quite aware of that, but there you are, and you find that it's been going on inside of you. The latter, now these are the extraordinary, the latter or extraordinary comprises the exceptional phenomena which affect the exterior or interior senses and sometimes the highest part of the mind, such as apparitions, interior and exterior words, prophecies, ecstasies, levitation, etc. He says the former graces, that would be the ordinary, may be of great help for the sanctification of the subject. They usually increase love, confidence, courage, and rarely expose the recipient to the dangers of self-seeking. Then he goes on and says, therefore, they are desirable and one may ask God for them. So ask God for those ordinary graces of His presence in you and a conscious awareness of that. This is good to ask for. We are encouraged to ask for it. This is what God wants. He says the latter, which would be the extraordinary graces, if they are real, because, you know, the diabolical imitates those things, the latter, if they are real, are gifts of God, which one must venerate as we venerate anything that comes from Him. But they lend themselves more easily to illusion, to vanity, to eccentric conduct of the subject or of those whom he influences. Therefore, we must exercise great reserve with them, examine them, and have them examined by authority. And we must refrain from desiring them. So don't be asking the Lord for an apparition. Don't be asking the Lord for the, you know, phenomenon of levitation. Don't be asking Him for those things. If God wills to give them to you, He will. And only He knows what is best for your sanctification. And in many cases, people get tripped up because of those gifts. So He doesn't want you to be asking for them. He wants you to ask for the ordinary gifts of mysticism. So I just wanted to give you that little insight about that because, you know, I don't know. We get all caught up in the odd and the you know, phenomenal. But that odd and that phenomenal is really a manifestation of God's mercy and love so that we might enter more deeply into union with Him. And many of the great saints asked God to take away those gifts. Teresa of Avila is one of them. She would levitate. She said, please, please, Father God, keep me on the ground here, you know. She didn't want that. So we've got some callers, and we're going to go to Ruth. Ruth is in Easton, Pennsylvania today, listening through YouTube. Hey, Ruth, how are you doing?
Could be better.
How's your brother?
He got through surgery fine.
Good.
His right side is fully picking up some He can feel some things, but is basically paralyzed on his right side yet. And his speech is getting better, but it's slow. So he's in there, and then my sister now has uterine cancer.
Oh dear.
And we're hoping, and it seems like it's going to be resolved with a hysterectomy. So so that's good. But and my mom is just like, she had two bombs dropped on her, she calls it. And it's just very difficult time. So I just was hoping for prayers for the family.
Sure.
I mean, I can understand these things you're saying, but not everybody does. And so, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, I want to reiterate, these are my two little acronyms for faith. As a matter of fact, we've got the one on a plaque, and you can go out to the website and order it. They're good to have. I have faith, hope, and trust on plaques that you can hang up. They're very pretty. All that being said, we need to have these holy reminders because we all go through trials in life. And right now, your family, Ruth, is in great trial. So the first definition for faith is firm assurance in things hidden. Right now, it may be, and this is you know, this is just part of the spiritual walk. We might not see the action of God taking place in this moment. But we have that firm assurance that whether or not we see it, we know he's about a work. And we hold on to that. And I like to use a very common example that's used for this. And that is that when it's a cloudy day, we don't see the sun shining. But we know that that sun is there behind that cloud. And so when we have these clouds that crop up in our daily life, we still know that God is there. It's just that we're not perceiving him, but we trust in what we don't see. It's firm assurance in the things that are hidden from us, hidden from our gaze in that moment. And then to help us to be able to do that, there is this little second definition of faith that I have, facing adversity in trust-filled hope. Facing adversity in trust-filled hope. And so, you know, adversity, trial, contradictions, reversals, illness, sickness, suffering. That's adversity. How do we face it? With trust-filled hope. Hope, knowing, in trusting that God will intervene. And then, of course, that little acronym I have for hope that's on the plaque. How do we exercise hope? Hold on to the truths of the faith. Own the challenge. Persevere in prayer and expect God to intervene. And be looking for him. Be looking for him. So let's lift your family up right now. This is one thing I can tell you with absolute assurance, Ruth. The grace is there. And you know that to be true. Because God never entrusts a trial to us for which he doesn't give us the grace. There is that passage in Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. And it's St. Paul, and he says, you know, no test has come to you that has not come to every man, but in the midst of the test, God gives you a way out, lest you be crushed by it. So what is that way out? That's his presence, that's his grace, and it's there, and we got to call upon it. It's a real thing, and we got to move in it. We've got to move in the grace. We've got to move in the grace. And that's the expression of faith. And it's a funny thing, when we take a step of faith, we find that we have the courage that we need. So, Father God, we just come before you now, and we lift up Ruth's family. Father, you know the circumstance and situation with her brother and this glioblastoma. Father God, we know what medical science tells us about glios. We also know that you are the God of the impossible, and we continue to lift Ruth's brother up to you. We continue to ask for your mercy on him. We continue to ask for healing. I praise and thank you, Lord God, that the surgery was successful. Father, you know, the thing of it is, when you bring egg and sperm together in the womb of a woman and life comes, you know precisely, and you've known from all eternity when that egg and sperm would be connected so that life could come. And in your omniscient gaze, you also knew exactly when you would bring that soul home to you for all eternity. You knew how long that life would last. Father God, you know the number of days that you've given to Ruth's brother. Father God, we're asking you that every day of his life be filled with a movement forward toward you in trust, in faith, in hope, and in confidence. Father, each one of us has an expiration date in the temporal dimension. You are going to bring us home. We may or may not know the means by which you're going to do it. But Father, what we do know is that in the midst of that sojourn, your grace is sufficient for us. So I'm asking Father God for an injection of faith into Ruth's brother. I'm asking also for complete and total healing because you tell us to do that. So I'm asking for it, Lord, on her behalf and on the behalf of her brother and her whole family. And I lift up to you her sister, who is her sister-in-law. Is it your sister-in-law? No, it's your sister.
My sister.
Your sister who has been diagnosed with uterine cancer, Father. And I ask, Father, also that the radiating power of the Holy Spirit would burn out every cancer cell from her body. If you want to do it instantaneously, praise be to you. If you want to do it through medicine, praise be to you. We're just asking, Father God, in your mercy and kindness, that it would be done. And I pray in a special way for Ruth's mom. I mean, there's no worse suffering, Lord, than seeing your child suffer. That's the worst suffering of all. And you know that. You know that through the grace that your daughter received from you to endure the death of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you, Mary, that the graces that Father God gave you to hold you strong through that complete passion and death of your son, that you would now, through your spouse, the Holy Spirit, make those graces available to Ruth's mother, and that she would feel them, and that she would know that you are with her mother, consoling her through this time. And Father, we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. So Ruth, you know, I know I don't have to tell you this because I know you're a very prayerful lady. But the fact is, you know, don't waste the pain and the suffering that you're experiencing as a result of this. Encourage your mother not to waste the pain and suffering that she's experiencing. And the same for your sister and your brother, not to waste this time, because God will use their suffering in tremendous ways. Okay.
I just want to tell you one thing. Before this surgery, my brother said to my mom, God doesn't give us anything we can't handle. And his spirit is so good in the midst of this trial.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? You know, I'm thinking of some of the little saints who two blesseds, Chiara, or is it Chiara Bodano? And I'm thinking of Blessed Carlos. And I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, what inspirations they were. God saw fit to bring them home through their travail. But what inspiration to us, and what inspiration your brother is to so many. And who knows how his own faith-filled handling of his situation is not leading others to Christ because they see him, or even in ways that are unknown to us as he offers it up in union with our Lord. So thank you for sharing that. That's a beautiful thing.
Well, thank you. You take care.
All right, sweetheart. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. So we're going to go to Mary. Mary is in Midland, Michigan today. Sirius XM Station 130 is the way that she is listening to us. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Really cold.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. Well, thanks for being so honest.
I went inside. I was outside.
Oh, dear.
You know, 20-something, but the wind is what does it to you.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. We had a wonderfully mild from Christmas up till now. That's okay.
Oh, good. So you have something you want to share with us today.
Yeah, that's something that I read several years ago, and I don't remember where. It might have been like in one of the Lives of the Saints or in the Laudate Lives of the Saints. and I don't remember it totally accurately, but I know it had something to do with something that you talked about, how, like, you know, the Holy Spirit can be in you, and the Lord can be in you even when you're not actively praying.
Yes.
It's like you can still somewhat be praying even if you're not trying to. And
yes.
It just reminded me of one of these, I call her, I guess, kind of a little saint. She was just a gentle saint. Don't know when. I assumed it was way back, kind of like in the 1200s or something. But she, you know, she was holy, and she'd pray a lot and fast and probably do penance and things like that. But then somebody who, I guess, had some authority over to her, I don't know if it's like her mother or mother-in-law or like a husband or teachers or something, I guess they didn't like it, and they just bit by bit, you know, told her to stop certain things. So I guess one, they would say, you know, okay, stop doing these penances. And so, but she would just do it. She would just obey them. Okay, stop that. And then later they say, okay, we'll stop with the fasting, and she'd obey them and stop that. But, you know, she'd still be praying. And then eventually they go, okay, stop with this praying. And so she did, but she said there's one thing that she did. And she said she just kept one cell inside of her. I don't know if she meant spiritually or physically. One cell inside of her that was just left open to God. And that's just what she did.
Well, you know, that is a beautiful story. You know, and it shows us many things. It shows us how it is that we can be persecuted for our desire to draw nearer to the Lord. And there's reasons why we can be persecuted. There are some people that are in serious sin, and that striving for the Lord stands in stark contrast to the way of life they're living. So it becomes, if you will, like burning coals on their head. They can't stand it. They can't tolerate it. That's one reason. We can be persecuted because some people don't understand God, right? But this story that you're sharing, and I'd love to know who the saint is. There's one little saint, I'm forgetting her name, and it's going to come to me eventually, but she was an invalid little saint, and the family actually threw her out of the house and put her sort of like in this little shed, the father, I believe it was not living a holy life. He was living with a woman. Anyway, it's Saint Margaret somebody. I'm going to find it for us. But at any rate,
the movie?
I don't know.
Where she levitates later. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Saint Margaret. I think it's a Saint Margaret, Holy Saint Margaret. So I think that's who it was. Anyway, all that being said, the fact of the matter is, the beautiful thing is nobody can control what's going on in our interior life. You know, they can say, okay, I don't want you fasting. They can see that. I don't want you praying on your knees. They can see that. I don't want you thumbing the rosary. They can see that. But nobody can stop us from doing what goes on in the interior. And you know, we can be in prayer all day long, and nobody might even need to know about it. So she kept... Mm-hmm. This, the way that I'm reading what you're saying, she kept the window of her soul opened up so that, you know, the grace of God was still in her. And I think that's a beautiful example for us. You know, we can be sitting in a doctor's office, you know, waiting to be called in, and we can be praying the rosary. We don't have to have the rosary in our hands. God gave us 10 fingers. We can pray the rosary. And many saints, you know, I think of St. Maximilian Kolbe, you know, when he was incarcerated by the Gestapo. I think of servant of God, Walter Chizik, when he was detained in Russian prisons. You know, there can be a heaven going on in our interiority with no one knowing. So thanks for sharing. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
One cell open.
One cell. I like
that. That's what she said. She just kept one cell open. I don't know if she meant like a physical, you know, biology cell, which is my thing.
Well, that's what I think it might have been.
But yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she's keeping it open. Or she's got a cell in her soul. There's a lot of meditation that can go on about the cloister of our heart, you know, and so a cloister has a cell. Anyway, it's lovely to think about, and I really appreciate it. It's inspirational for sure.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Stay warm up there.
Yeah, as soon as I run back in.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye. So Cynthia is out there on YouTube, and she's asking for prayers to stop yoga at her church. She's telling us via YouTube that she received a threatening phone call 2 days ago from the church to stop sharing how evil yoga is and warning parishioners. Well, you know, I'm sure that you are basically storing up graces, Cynthia, because you are willing to speak the truth. It has to be spoken in love, of course. But I will put you into my prayers. And Father God, we're just asking you to embolden Cynthia, to protect her, Father God. Threatening phone calls from a church is never a right thing, Lord. So please aid her through this time of persecution. It's been great being with you. God bless you now. Bye.